on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. It's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. Just to let everyone know, we are now on iTunes, so please do hit us up on our Twitter page and obviously on iTunes. With me this week, we have...
Alex.
Christian.
Mark.
Steve.
And Steve is joining us. He is another Arsenal fan. So we got two Arsenal fans in.
Two delusional people, correct. Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Steve, yeah.
Loyal and respectful.
We have to make a formation change here. Should we be a 4-4-1-1 now, or what should we do? How should we do it, Gaffer?
We'll just leave it the way it is. Right. Why not? All right, let's go to the first game of the week. It was on Friday. It was West Ham versus Brighton. What is up with West Ham? Terrible result for them. 3-0 to Brighton.
Great for Glenn Murray. Two goals.
Is Bilic on the way out? I think he's gone by tomorrow. I honestly think he's going by tomorrow.
Apparently the board was already meeting.
Yeah, they met on Saturday morning.
Yeah, so the decision, you would think, has already been made, and if it has been, you would have expected a communication then, right?
Well, I'm thinking leave it until the end of the games, leave it until Monday, start of a new week, get rid of him, bring someone else in. Like, you know, that's my thoughts on it. Maybe he's not. Maybe they're going to hold on to him. Maybe it's just a dip in the spell. I don't know, but I think he's gone. And we're actually watching the results right now.
We got a bunch of London guys in here. What do you London guys think?
Well, I mean, on a day like this where they lose to a team that just got promoted at home, it's a pathetic result, but one of many. It's not just their first poor result, and at this point they're not looking great. I mean, come on. They're 16th in the table with 8 points. They're not in the drop zone, but they are level with points with Everton, who are in the drop zone. So just goal differential is keeping them out.
I think when coaches get sacked, it's not just that they're losing, it's how they're losing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Brighton's first away win of the season. They're holding their own so far, right?
Yeah, they're now 12th in the table, 11 points.
Yeah, these new clubs this year are real dark horses. You know, I've noticed that.
And we'll get to one later, right, Andy?
We'll get to the Huddersfield result. Okay, so Christian, do you think that Bilic is gone, or do you think they'll keep him?
I think Bilic should have been gone last year. I thought the way that Payet was handled was just...
Dreadful.
Dreadful from start to finish. And they had their opportunity to cash in on him, and they didn't take it. And I admired their ambition, but it's just a complete failure all around. I mean, you got to really start thinking West Ham are going to be in a relegation battle this year, given that they're going to have to spend to bring some players in January, and they're going to have a new manager come probably tomorrow. So it's not looking good for the Irons, and I know there's a lot of Iron supporters in Charlottesville
there
as
is.
Well.
Yeah, I've seen them. It's crazy. Like, a couple years ago, Bilic was like one of the managers of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, like they almost finished top six.
And they almost finished top four.
Top four,
they almost pushed City out of the top four.
And like now it's just like a completely different story.
It's almost like Martinez at Everton. They were almost top five and they just fell off a cliff.
Right.
Yeah, and thing about West Ham is they made some good moves in the summer. They picked up Javier Hernandez. Joe Hart. I mean, three players that you thought would
Arnautovic is a great player.
Well, the pundits on the NBC show after the match took all the West Ham players to the woodshed, especially Arnautovic, that there was absolutely no heart out on display. No pun intended, as Joe didn't have a good match. But there was nothing going on by the West Ham players. They just sat, and Chicharito was expecting service, never came. It was an ugly, ugly game, and Hammer fans, they probably would be happy to see Bilic out and some changes in January because this club's not working right now.
Who replaces him?
I know Ancelotti was rumored, but someone here,
he's not going to go to West Ham.
Was talking about him going to Italy, that the AC Milan job is going to come available given their project.
And he'll fit in like a glove with that.
Absolutely. It's a great fit, but will it happen? We'll see.
Right. Anyone to add any more to that game?
Well, I was going
to
say that, you know, I know we're an English show, but Ancelotti back at AC Milan, I think with the money that AC Milan has now, we're going to see a resurgence, and I'd love to see them back in Europe.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the first game of the week, of Saturday, which was Chelsea versus Watford.
What a game.
Yeah, Watford actually were in the game.
A lot to say about this one.
Right.
This was a good one.
I know that we were texting back and forward, and I'd said, what a goal by Pedro, and you were kind of saying...
Well, the corner
right.
shouldn't have been, which,
correct.
Which is how they got the first goal. Pedro with a wonder goal, a wonderful strike that came off the... curling effort that came off the left post and in. That was probably the best goal of the game, even though it maybe shouldn't have been. Watford were really, I thought they were dominating for a good percentage of the first half, and they deserved the equalizer that they got from Decore to make it 1-1 at half. And then, man, I mean, Richarlison had a couple sitters that he missed, two of them, one with his left foot, one with his... with his head. Pereira had a goal, which, you know, put them up. But then ultimately,
as a greater,
Conte made the changes that I thought was
right.
Not enough people are talking about that. He brought in Willian, brought in Batshuayi for Morata, which was a ballsy decision.
Right.
Which ended up with Batshuayi getting two goals and ultimately the win.
I think in the opening 20 minutes, you could say that because Pedro hasn't started since the 23rd of September against Stoke. And then, of course, Morata was out against the game against City. And I was telling Christian this before we came on air. Like, I was never really into this sort of positional studying of the game, and now I'm picking it up. And that was a great game to watch it because we saw Hazard just kind of sweeping around the midfield and picking up balls. And just the pace on this guy running up the middle. Pedro was obviously on the is definitely a right side flanker, and, of course, Morata is on the left. But the way in which Morata kind of moves into a more central role, it just created, I would say the first 20 minutes, they dominated. I don't know what happened after that point. They kind of fell off a little bit and picked it up after. Right. That seems to be a big thing this year, big clubs with shoddy defense.
Their defense is upset, but it's mainly the engine room that's been upset. With Conte being injured and Modric being sold off, they've not found that Chelsea grit that
they don't have a babysitter.
Right, they don't have someone in front of that back four who's taking care of business like Conte, who Player of the Year last year, and he's just such. He should have been the Player of the Year the year before with Leicester.
He's an alien.
He is, and he's what 5'7", 5'6". It's just amazing his work rate and what he's able to accomplish. But I find that's where Chelsea are now going to have to play open and go forward a lot without that engine room. And there's no answer for Modric. Is it Bakayoko? I don't think he's come good yet for them. But it's an interesting project because Conte, there was a lot of talk about, well, he wants to go back to England, or I'm sorry, go back to Italy. He's homesick or just wants to keep moving around, and Chelsea's a project that's going to turn over every 2 to 3 years. But I thought that was a match that's a mark of a champion right there. They came back, and I think Alex said that via text, was that's what champions do.
Yeah.
They are losing a match that they should lose and then turn it around, and 4-2. That's amazing.
Apparently there are enough solid Italian bars/restaurants in London.
Yeah, but I think the real reason Conte he's happy. Not happy is because the fact that the owner, surprisingly, didn't splash the cash. He sold Matic, didn't really bring on some of the other players that he wanted.
Which is rare, because normally they do splash the cash.
Exactly.
Apparently there's a female, and I don't know her name, general manager, that he does not get along with. And she's been with... what's the owner's name?
And it's not the same girl that Mourinho got in a bust up with.
No, that was the physio.
So, yeah, she's gone.
This is the general manager who brings in the players, and she seems to have a lot more control, or he doesn't have enough control.
There's a lot of talk that Abramovich couldn't spend money this year due to some political issues with Russia and some shady business dealings. So I don't know how true
really?
That is.
Yeah, that's
surprise,
how he made
surprise.
His money.
Right. And that, obviously, their spending this year was a little out of whack given what the Manchester clubs did and what Chelsea typically do. So we'll see. I think January will be a time that they'll make the adjustment to to correct themselves. And they'll be in this title fight for sure.
I mean, one thing I do want to say, though, is that Miguel Britos had some pretty horrific errors for Watford that I think he gave away two goals. One where the first goal for Batshuayi, where he just kind of was flat-footed and didn't really go to the ball as it came in. He could have defended that one. And then on the fourth goal, he tried to chip Bakayoko, and he just heads it right, and then it goes right to his head, and that just goes into the way of Batshuayi. So that guy gave up two goals in my eyes, and that's the difference in the game.
And as an Arsenal fan, I would of course want to mention, after Troy Deeney popped off his mouth.
Don't mention Troy Deeney.
He was a non-factor in that
game. Don't know about the Troy Deeney.
He didn't show up.
Yeah. I was
and
ashamed.
He's like chairman of the
Troy I'm the chairman Deeney. Of the Troy Band Deeney club. Fan club, so just watch what you say about Troy Deeney.
To close out on Batshuayi, that he has scored 6 goals in his last 9 Premier League appearances. So Conte, while there was a lot of talk of his doubt in him, Batshuayi's come good for them, and as good as Morata's been, and I've been a big cheerleader of Morata so far in his Premier League early days, I think Batshuayi might be the better player and needs more time out there.
It's funny you say that, though, and I don't disagree with you, but the thing about Batshuayi is he always comes on at the end of the game when they're up. Like,
well, not today, right? Or yesterday.
Well, I mean, I'm saying in the past. So, like, you got this player that comes on when the game's already won. Yeah, like, maybe you score a goal, like... But the game's already done and dusted.
Yeah, I mean, I think his two most famous goals, he came on and won the title for them last year when it was 0-0.
Well, he didn't win the title. He just scored the goal that won them the title.
He scored the goal that won them the title, correct. And then I would say the goal against Watford is probably his second most famous one now.
Mm. He's got a very famous own goal, too, I believe.
All right, so, well, I'm trying to keep this game as far away into the distance as possible, but we have to get to it, and it was the second
one.
You love
Troy Deeney.
United versus Huddersfield.
What a result for Huddersfield. Right.
I am not taking anything away from Huddersfield. I'm a United fan. I nearly threw things at the television. I had to turn over to watch the City game. And one thing I will say is, and the commentators, the play-by-plays had said this during the game, that stadium was rocking.
It's kind of like Leicester.
Deafening.
A few years ago, you know?
Like when you turned over to watch the City game, and I know people say about the empty hat, I don't believe that for a second. You could have watched any game at that point.
The
noise levels was almost quiet watching the other games. When you watch the
Premier League, that's Premier League grounds at this point. Any joke?
What, did Oasis show up to Huddersfield and just rock it out?
Yeah, honestly, any joke about Manchester City is.
I wasn't trying to make a joke about this.
No, it was more Alex than the empty head. But Huddersfield Town, any newly promoted side knows how to bring it well.
Right.
But their TIFO that they put up before the match, which I had sent out to all you guys, it doesn't count how big you are or how experienced you are. If you have passion and desire, you have no limits. And that I get chills saying that because football is about passion. And when you have that, you can take a team that's mediocre talent-wise and turn if you can turn that into the passion into something that gels together and works together.
Yeah, you got to play as a team.
You can beat anybody on any day, and that's the beauty
of
this game.
Right.
A couple of years ago, that's exactly what Leicester did.
And gave up on Ranieri, and that to me is where it goes off and on, that passion can work for you and it can work against you.
Sure.
That locker room, and let's get back to Huddersfield, honestly, but what happened to Ranieri last year was just...
Awful.
Shameful.
Yeah.
Shameful.
Exactly. Don't forget, guys, you're listening to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. You can get in contact with us 4342849470. Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter now.
Blokes and on iTunes.
And iTunes. So you can hear us repeatedly over the week. It's a joyous thing to do.
Let's get back to Mourinho's first loss of the season.
I saw this coming. I didn't see it coming against Huddersfield, but I saw it coming against one of the bigger teams. I've said it all along. 200 million does not equate to having a good team. We have had 3 to 4 years of bad management. And some of that bad management is still playing on the field. And I'm not going to get into who needs to go and who needs to stay. That's the first thing I'll say.
Yeah, second, no, we'd like you to
name names.
No, I'm not.
No,
the second thing, I've got more important things to talk about. The second thing is subs. I generally go along with what Mourinho does. I think he's a tactician. I think he can be a genius. And there have been games this season. Hold on. Let me finish. there have been games this season when he has changed the game by just making two or three tweaks.
Well, he
this one was awful. He took Mata off. He should have kept him on. I would have played Rashford from the beginning. I don't think Martial, when he starts a game, is any good. He comes on. I think he's a super sub at best. I do wish, and I you guys are going to be sound so surprised when I say this, but I do think if Fellini was fit, I would have put him on. Give us a bit more of an aerial advantage, especially in a game like Huddersfield, where it's grit, there's passion there, they're in it to win it. And we showed nothing. I would have brought him on because he's a physical player. And we showed nothing physical in that game. Our attack was blunt. It was just nothing to it. Yeah, that's all I got to say on it.
So we'll go down the line here.
So, I mean, a couple things here. Huddersfield came into the game, hadn't scored in four games. They hadn't scored since almost basically in a month, since September 19th against Leicester. Mm-hmm. The biggest play, though, I think, was not even a goal. It was when Phil Jones went down and he had to bring in
Lindelof.
Lindelof,
oh,
exactly.
Awful.
So,
and that's a big signing for you all.
He was a huge signing, and he was big money, and we thought he was going to be this, that, and the other. Maybe he will be. But that second goal that he missed the header on, that was as bad as it gets, and that was the match winner.
See, like my issue, you say that Mourinho is a tactician, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think so, because there's so many games over the years of Mourinho that I've watched where after 45 minutes, he makes a substitution at halftime. That means you're not prepared. That means you got your tactics wrong.
I don't know that I'll agree with that, but I don't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I mean, that's really all I have to say.
It's like Mike Tyson said, you know, you have a plan before you go into a fight.
He was a tactician.
And it all changes the first time you get punched in the nose. I mean, that's...
Everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face.
There you go. Thank you for saying that.
And then you bite the ear later.
Right. Everyone has a plan until you bite your ear off.
Mourinho has not won a match down two goals in his Premier League
and come back.
Time.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's I didn't know that.
19 times that's occurred.
Wow.
But again, Rashford, I had the man crush.
He's got to start.
Rashford is an amazing player, and I know you had mentioned that he was nursing a knock, so
necessarily very surprised
start.
That he was on.
But he is the top teenage scorer in Premier League history, only behind Wayne Rooney.
I don't want to talk about Wayne Rooney.
He's something special, and United, as much as I loathe them because they are the hegemon in England, and we're all trying to get to where they've been. They need to get back to youth, and if they stop,
that's always been about. It's always been about the youth.
Right.
Continue.
Well, and this might be a reach, but I go back to how he asked them to play against Liverpool, and I was blown away. I mean, I thought it was ridiculous when he said we can't run with these guys.
But why do you think that when we've seen that happen, and every big match that he does go away to, he will play a very disciplined style.
He parks the bus.
I don't want to use those words, but he makes sure that his team stays within a very compact shape and does not allow themselves to get run off.
But isn't that part of the dynamic where players get mad at him?
All right, guys, we have to cut the break right now. The time is 20 past 6. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back to Blokes on the Bench. You were talking about the Liverpool game, and I do think things started from there. I think we've been poor all along. I just think we've been masked by the fact that we're playing poor competition. But you're right. The Liverpool game was boring, but I can't stand Liverpool fans talking about how they can complain about the fact that we parked a bus and they didn't get a goal past us, so therefore it worked.
Andy, you mentioned a better team. Mourinho actually said the better team won this week. Which, you know, he's always pulling strings. He is the master of the dark arts.
Right, you need double-edged. You don't know where
but
he's coming
honestly,
from.
Honestly, he really just, not praised, because it's all backhanded, of course, but when he says the better team won, the team who had more ambition, who had more grit, who had more whatever, won the match, I was, how do United players hear that in the locker room? Like, you know.
But that's the thing, I was listening to one of the sort of YouTube Manchester United fan base, and they were saying about that. There's nobody in the locker room, like that Roy Keane figure, that's just going to go off on everybody. Who was our captain?
Room.
Valencia? I mean, a great guy, but where's that strong leadership role?
We don't have it.
De Gea may be the most accomplished player on the side.
Right, but he can't communicate up to the strikers.
I mean, you can't have your goalkeeper, like you have to have an outfield player.
Right, you need a midfielder or like the engine room, whatever.
Play with the captain,
and it's the wrong decision.
What I mean, with what Juve,
Hugo Lloris, the best keeper in the world, is that what you're talking about?
Lloris is the captain plenty of times, and
your boy.
So is the guy for Juve. I'm forgetting his name all of a sudden.
Buffon.
Gigi Buffon.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, he's the captain for Italy and
well,
for
Italy's Juventus. Slow like. They have enough time saying, to like.
It can be anyone that's on the pitch. That's
play lasagna that. go midfield and just like talk about it. Like we're talking about England. I'm talking about Italy.
They'll get
the insight.
We're talking about practice.
I thought it was pretty good.
hey, Huddersfield
playoffs.
Beat United for the first time since 1952. United was 78% of the possession, but just can't get it done.
Oh, really? I didn't watch this match. It was on against the City match, so I didn't see it, and I didn't really look at the highlights. But wow, that's
sounds like there weren't that many highlights. I mean, maybe
there were if you were a Huddersfield supporter,
right? Yeah. We have to move on. Swansea versus Leicester.
Fabianski, you Arsenal guys, we were talking about Czech before we came on the show. Fabianski definitely deserved
floppy,
a better result,
floppy.
Given they lost the match. But there was an own goal in the match, a spectacular own goal, if you caught it. Just unreal.
Federico Fernandez.
Oh,
yeah.
Brutal. Brutal.
But I thought the best player on the field was Okazaki.
Absolutely.
He was all over the place.
He always is. I love that guy. You want to talk about an engine room? That guy's like...
Yeah.
Well, where has he
that
been?
That guy's like a kamikaze, like wrapped up in one.
He scored 5 goals in his last Premier League match, 9 Premier League matches. That's as many as his last 51 matches. So he definitely fell into that group of players who, and I won't say that he's part of the reason why Ranieri was having the issues that he had and is gone now, but
they probably loved each other.
Where did that turn around? Where do you have a player that has all that motion and energy, and then he just disappears, and now he's back? I don't know if he had a health issue or what was going on, but... what a match for him.
I don't think he disappeared. I just don't think he got the playing time that he deserved. And that guy is an engine. Like, he plays that number 7 role. It's funny, me and Alex were playing FIFA last week.
Oh, we got to get some FIFA in, guys.
Yep.
Come on.
And like,
come on.
I was trying to find a formation where, like, I was playing with Griezmann. I was playing France. And I was trying to find this formation where, like, I could play Martial up top and kind of have, like, Griezmann, like, come off of him. And that's like Okazaki, that's the position he plays. He plays right off the striker and he works really
hard.
And
he's the reason that Iheanacho isn't playing, right? So he's taken that spot that I think that Christian and I both thought was going to be a bigger part of the Leicester success. And I mean, we're not even saying it though. This is the first match for the new manager, right? So Shakespeare's out,
right?
Which was, I thought, surprising. I didn't think that they needed to make that move. Leicester, sure, they haven't been having this season that they wanted up to that point, but they were in the drop zone. But hey, they just got a win, and now they're you know, all the way up in 14th. And, you know, just one game makes a difference. I don't think that was the right move. I didn't understand it. Shakespeare was the answer 6 months ago, and now he's the problem. I don't understand.
What's Leicester's ambition? What do you see them? What are they trying to accomplish? Just a mid-level team, mid-table team?
Mm-hmm. I think they just want to stay up. You know, obviously they struggled last year to do that. And if your number one concern is that you don't want to drop, then you're not going to go very far in this league. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Isn't that amazing? We're talking about a side that won the Premier League 2 years ago, and we're talking about them just trying to hang on. So that 5,000-to-1 shot that occurred, that they made, it may be one of the most miraculous stories in the history of all
sport. It is.
I mean,
from a betting perspective, it's up there.
But just in the sport itself, I would have had, you know, 10 quid on that. But either way, it's amazing to think that you could go from being a champion to try to hang on in this league, which goes to show how competitive this sport really is. And when you have these sides that are so ambitious and trying to do what they're doing, it's amazing to think of a champion possibly being relegated within, you know, the next year, much less maybe the second year. I think they'll be fine. They have plenty of talent. They should stay up. They don't have Europe biting at them like they had last year. I think that had a lot to do with them. They didn't have a big enough side to compete.
I think that's a good point, Christian. It's tough. when week in, week out, you're playing in the Prem, and then you add those European fixtures, like...
Well, and you guys, with the, your Thursday matches, and that's why Europa, and I'm not taking a dig at you, that's why Thursday matches, you,
oh, it still
you
hurts.
Do not want to be playing in Europa. It's just, then you have to play Saturday, you know, or Sunday, and the Premier League has no empathy or sympathy towards those sides. They're like, you got to play. We don't care that you had to fly to Russia on Thursday, and you're getting back.
Or Belgrade.
You're back on Saturday morning playing at, you know, the lunchtime
fixtures. By the way, Giroud's goal mid on Thursday, absolute class.
It was unbelievable.
Absolute class. It was like the inverse of the Scorpion goal from last year. Like, it was like, it was amazing.
But for Arsenal, I'm wondering if five is the new four. You know, it used to be four, but now five might be good enough for us.
We'll get there. We'll get there. That's about the number of goals they scored today, right?
All right, so let's move on to the next game. Stoke versus Bournemouth. Stoke. Seriously, what is going on there?
There's nothing like watching Peter Crouch flailing around in the box in the 84th minute trying to head something down in to get Stoke over the line. It's so entertaining week by week. That's all I got.
Everybody just wants to see the robot.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
That's what it really comes down to. If only Troy Deeney could join him.
Right.
I thought it was a really good result for Bournemouth on the road at Stoke. Notoriously a tough place to play. Obviously, they gave United struggles earlier in the year.
And
plenty of other teams throughout the years. Bournemouth came and played well, I thought. And some of the goals maybe weren't the prettiest. But, you know, they went in the back of the net, and that's all that really matters.
Stoke reminded me of when you'd play Mike Tyson punch out. Back to Mike Tyson again. Wow.
That was a great game.
One of the guys you'd punch, you'd get stars over his head, you know, and you could hit him multiple times after that. I think that Stoke were still a little stunned from their result to City 7-2 the week before, that they just hadn't found that the mental power that they needed to be back out there again. It didn't look like a good side.
Yeah, so, I mean... This is my thing about with Bournemouth. Like, what, 3 years ago when they got promoted up, Eddie Howe was this kind of
legendary
figure that was, you know, that everyone was talking about him going to the England role at some point. Do you think, because I don't rate Gareth, whatever his name is, Southgate. Can't stand the guy. Looks like an idiot. But, I mean, do you think
that's coming up?
Right.
Brazil, right?
No, World Cup. I mean,
well, Brazil's coming in November, I'm saying.
Well, but, I mean, think that Eddie Howe is still could still be that figure? Or, I mean,
I don't. I think you're the English guy here. Yeah, what do you think?
I'm not English. I'm Irish.
Sorry, I apologize. Well,
wasn't Ryan saying that he was the guy that should replace Wenger?
Greggy definitely was saying that last
year. So I mean, this guy has plenty of potential, and Bournemouth have played well throughout the years. But I mean, they're a team that sure they're going to
and we definitely. Table,
but right now they're in the drop zone. So those are big 3 points for them, and they needed that. I mean, they were just 1 point above Crystal Palace before that with only 4 points. So that was a huge victory for them on the road and one that they desperately needed to stay up. And I ultimately think that they will stay up. I don't see them necessarily dropping at this point, but, you know, they certainly could.
Well, they got Defoe on the free. I'm not sure that that was necessarily what they needed to move forward in the project that they have. I questioned it when it happened, and I'm not in the position to do that, but they seem like a side that need more young players who they can grow through their system. Spending those weekly wages on a guy like Defoe seems like a waste of time, not only for the club, but Defoe as well. I mean, he's has to there. Accept what he is and maybe go to a bigger side and be that guy you bring on in the 75th minute to change things up. You're not going to start for Manchester United. You're not going to start for Spurs. You're not. That's not who you are, but you really could contribute to somebody if you decided that that's how you wanted to play.
And the thing about Defoe when he came to Bournemouth is that they really put the whole team around him and they centered the offense around him, which for me didn't make sense with Josh King having come off a spectacular year.
Right.
And they put Josh King in a formation and one that he wasn't necessarily familiar with, and I thought that really stunted his growth. He didn't play in this game, and nor was he even on the bench.
Wow.
I just want to say big up to Defoe. That kid, what was it, Bradley?
Yeah, the one that passed away, the little kid.
Yeah,
absolutely.
As a philanthropist, like, that was very big on him. So I have the utmost respect for Tofoe.
Mm-hmm. You know? Didn't he play for Toronto?
He played for Toronto FC.
Yeah.
And he set the world on fire. But that's not saying a lot when you're talking about MLS. Let's move on.
Burn.
All right. Let's move
on. Says a New York fan.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Are you not in? So you don't follow New York?
I don't follow anything in MLS aside from the nonsense stories that comes out of it, which is a nonstop feed. The news about Columbus possibly moving is absolutely horrible, and MLS should be ashamed. Columbus supporters should be up in arms in this, and I'm getting angrier about this than I should because I couldn't care less about the Columbus Crew, but those supporters deserve better, and MLS should not allow somebody, some rich owner, to move this side out of town because the city won't build a stadium that he wants. Give me a break.
Columbus.
Why can't they just play at the Horseshoe?
They could. It's just up the street. Columbus are now...
It's like the biggest college football stadium close to in the country.
Yeah. Columbus haven't lost in 10 games, just to do a little MLS plug here. They actually drew NYFC today.
Well, NYCFC had to play at the New Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
We don't call it that. We call it the New Shea. It's embarrassing that NYCFC, with the trillions of dollars in city's coffers, can't find a home. And again, this is getting way off course, but... The fact that they play at Yankee Stadium, they had to play at Hartford this year. Now at Shea, they're playoff side. There's so much money invested.
Hartford?
They had to play a match in Hartford this year because
that's
the Yankees.
That's ways away.
3 hours by my good friend back home.
Yeah.
Told me.
If traffic's right.
And let me tell you, there's nothing to do in Hartford. So you're taking that long trip and staying overnight.
Sorry to anyone listening in Hartford, by the way.
I'm not.
Hey, David Villa missed a PK to keep the game as a draw. It would have been a hat trick for him.
I mean, that would be a great game to see. Like, you got Pirlo and you got...
Oh, watching Pirlo's zombie body going up and down the pitch, it's bad. It's really bad. And this is why I don't want the MLS to be a retirement home for these guys. They just don't... It doesn't do the league or us any good.
All right, so we have to move on back to the Premier League again.
good football.
Newcastle,
a lot of issues going on.
Well, talking about good football, I mean, Newcastle versus Crystal Palace. So, Crystal Palace, they get a new manager in, they get a win last week, and now the results are coming back. Well, I mean,
they went into a very tough place to play. I mean, to be fair, Palace aren't very good anyway, but Newcastle,
they're not.
Newcastle, who...
It's not an easy place to travel to.
Well, a certain ground,
it's not an easy place to play.
I believe in what Newcastle are doing, and it's so great to see them back up in the Premier League. I think that they're on their way to where they want to go. They're going to solidify for the next few years, and then I think that Rafa's going to take that project into the top six, top five. It's not going to happen, you know, in 3 or 4 years if he stays, and that's a big question, if he stays.
Well, I mean, he stayed during the championship,
back in the
Champions League. So
right, and let's not forget, Mike Ashley just put the team up for sale, which I know Newcastle supporters are having a parade in the streets about this. That is such a big deal. He is the reason that side
like
went down. Yeah, awful owner. Awful. Not a really good guy either. Sorry, Mike. it's a great thing to see a club the size of Newcastle back in the Premier League playing good football. And as an American, really happy to see that DeAndre Yedlin didn't get his leg broken by...
That Kabay tackle.
Absolutely disgusting tackle.
Should have been a red.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Didn't Kabay used to play for Newcastle?
He did, and Kabay was a player who at one point was... He'd left Newcastle to go to... He went to a good European side, I believe, and only spent a year there.
Did he go to PSG, maybe?
I believe he played for PSG,
yeah.
Right. And he looked to be a player who was going to make a name on the world stage, and just... I've had him in my fantasy side way too many times,
So Newcastle Brown Ale as their
Newcastle Brown Ale.
Again?
I knew that was coming up. Newcastle are a team that should be in the top six. There's something about them you think, okay, you
great
guys
supporters.
Should, yeah.
Great ground. Great Newcastle.
Well,
and you can probably speak to this better than...
Well, I know somebody that played for Newcastle.
Oh, yeah?
Keith Gillespie played for United.
Interesting.
His granny used to look after us.
Well, there's very few teams in that part of England, right? I mean, it's like...
It's a
like
northern club.
Northern
teams.
Club.
And Newcastle is a very working class city.
And we have no Tyneside Derby this year.
Tyneside like?
Tyneside.
I like.
That's not the worst thing with how bad Sunderland is.
And when Benitez stuck with them and brought them right back up, I mean,
that's just commitment to do that.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. And the other part of that is Crystal Palace is going down. That's pretty obvious at this point.
They still have cheerleaders.
Yeah, well, you know,
one of the only clubs
going to Selhurst
that has cheerleaders.
Going to Selhurst is a great experience, only in that it is such an old ground and not so nice of a part of town either. I think that their supporters are great. They do deserve better football. They're not going to get it this year. I think you're right. I think
it's unfortunate because I agree. The atmosphere there apparently is unbelievable.
It really is. They have if you see an American football match when Team USA are playing, the American Outlaws, I think, took a lot from what the supporters at Selhurst do.
Yeah,
it's really, they're just rambunctious throughout the entire match, and it was a real pleasure for me to go to that ground. But they're going to probably be playing in League One next year or wherever.
I've always heard that Craven Cottage is like
such a beautiful
place.
Ground.
Yeah, I've been there a couple times.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
it'd be nice to see them like back in the Prem, like right on the Thames, apparently, right?
The
stadium's like right on the Thames.
Get a great view of the sunset.
And Clint Dempsey, like, used to, like, and Brian McBride.
I
like,
saw Dempsey score
there
years ago.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
I know more than a fair share of American supporters who are Fulham supporters because of Clint Dempsey, and boy, did they pick the wrong side to fall in love with.
Fulham back in the day were like, they were the hooligans.
Yeah, they played in Europe.
Millwall
not that long ago.
Millwall and
Fulham. And you look at their manager, like, it was off, like, what's his name? The Fulham manager, he coached England for a little while, like...
Oh, Sam Allardyce?
Hodgson.
Yeah.
He was great at Fulham, but after that, it was like...
Well, he took Fulham
totally
super
downhill.
Deep in the Europa Cup, if you remember.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
Like, Dembele was on that team.
Yeah. While we're talking about grounds, I do like St. Mary's. I've always wanted to visit there. My sister lives in Southampton. Every time she comes over,
cool.
I'm like, can you get me a shirt, please?
Mm.
The time. It's now 6:40. We'll be right back. And we're back, and Mark is still talking over.
exactly.
Sorry, Mark. All right, so let's move on to Man City versus Burnley.
Another great result. City keep rolling along.
You guys are scary.
Well, what's underrated in all this is that the defense plays as well as it does. John Stones and Otamendi have found a really good rhythm with each other. Otamendi scored the goal, which is great to see, but their work rate is constant. Delph helps out as well, coming into center mid off of the left-back position. Aguero with a penalty kick conversion, which he hasn't been great at in the last few years, but he did tie Eric Brooke for top goal scorer in Manchester City history, which is, I mean, he's only been there for 7 years or so.
Do you think that was a penalty to score that many goals in Man City.
So this is a good talking point. Do you think it's a penalty?
I
think it was an absolute penalty, given that the keeper's knee totally took Bernardo out. He came right down on it. You could see from two angles, it didn't look like a penalty, but the angle that the official saw, he could see that view. Now, the penalty call on Delph, after looking at it again in preparation for the show today, I don't know why the penalty wasn't given against Delph. His hand was above his head. He kicked the ball right into it, which, you know, obviously he didn't mean to do that, but intent is not how you officiate.
It's where
his hand was, which was it made no sense. So I do feel that Burnley were hard done by that. I don't think it would have changed the result of the match.
No.
It was on. The match was on. We could not find a second goal for quite a while. So at 1-0, it's a little shaky. And City's,
Burnley's tough.
And Burnley's very tough. I give them full credit for staying with us for as long as they did. But we can just throw so much weight against you. And it's watching Sané run the way he runs, De Bruyne changing the ball over as fast as he did. That pass that De Bruyne had to Sané on
the goal.
It's out of control. We always talk about the video
game.
He's
a masterclass of passes.
He's in top form right now, and it's scary to think with him playing the deeper mid position that he's able to put the ball all around. He's just in absolute fantastic form.
Overwhelming is the right word. City has just been rolling over people, and it's been tough to watch. I mean, it's beautiful football, but
we've not played anybody
yet. Wait until they play somebody.
Yeah,
I was just about to say that.
And the 10th, we really shouldn't even look at the table until the 10th week. That's just a personal observation from me, and that you can start to see how things are forming. And yeah, we're almost at that 10th game mark right now, so we're seeing that City are playing really well, but we have done this in the past, and then things come off the rails. I don't think it will get crazy like it has the last few years, because I think we have some
depth. And that's a big thing with City, is the coming off the rails. Like, what are you looking forward to? Like, what's your next fixture where you're like, nervous, concerned?
All
like,
it is for me
is
right now.
Big game.
Yeah, all it is for me right now is the derby. Only in that we have this easy run of matches over the next 4 or 5 weeks. So early December, we'll get together.
So it's like right around Thanksgiving.
It's interesting that you say that they have an easy run when they have Arsenal coming up in November, not too long from now. November 5th.
That's not an easy run, baby girl.
No, that's definitely not. I will agree with you. But before, that may be the toughest match in the run. I know that we have Wolves in League Cup
and
this week.
And we've gotten the better of you the last...
Absolutely. Arsenal like, beat us like we owe them money. And it's always been...
You do owe us money.
Well, maybe.
Wenger actually said, you're our number one client.
We are. We've taken some good players from you and given them championships where they
Sanya,
wouldn't have gotten
them. Nasri, Adebayor, like, the list goes on and on and on.
I think
and
we
on.
Should also, real quick, maybe talk about the European fixtures that happened this week, because we have a Spurs supporter here, obviously, who had a tremendous result. And City beat Napoli, who were as in form of a side in Europe.
We were watching those games together. That was great.
That was good football, and Spurs just played fantastic. Really, honestly, I can say deserved 3 points out of that match, and that's a lot to say given that they're playing Real Madrid and played them.
Alex would like that, but it didn't actually happen.
I don't know if it was... I obviously saw the game live. And
Hurricane made a good audition for Real Madrid. He's going to be gone this summer, so...
Yeah, Mark and I made a $50 bet. Mark thinks he's gone at the end of the summer. I think that's...
Yeah, we made that today, right?
I'm already thinking about where I'm gonna go out for dinner with that money.
There you go.
Take the lady out.
Moss, maybe.
But yeah, I think it was a great result for City. It really was tougher. I had both games, the United game and... the City game on, and this was a really tough one for City. Watching it, you guys struggled to really move the ball around. Sure, you put your weight on them and you had possession.
Well, it's tough against Napoli, like.
But I think Burnley. I'm not saying they deserve points here, but credit to them for putting up a good fight.
They did, right. And they have all year. I mean, they're sitting what, mid table right now. They look like they're not going to be obviously fighting for a top four position or a top six. But they're going to give everybody a hard time. They obviously have given...
Steal points.
Yeah,
make
they're going to take
for the
points.
Big boys.
And these are matches over the last 2 years or 3 years the City have dropped points in. So this is relatively an exciting result, not just that we won, but the fact that we took a tough side and played them well.
Yeah, and Burnley are known for being a better squad at home. This is actually their first loss on the road. So Burnley have been playing really well this year. Even with the loss, they're 8th and 13 points.
All right, guys, we need to move on to the next game with Southampton versus West Brom. And really the only moment from this was Bouffal's goal. Takes it from at least 30 yards in his own box, or his own half, and just...
Half.
Let's go.
Just runs it 70 yards past 6 or 7 players.
Right.
Slots it in for the winner.
And you were saying, Christian, about, like, you know, it's not just running, it's the finish.
It's everything. And if you haven't seen it, please go see it, because this is one of those goals that... will make the beautiful game. It rewards your faith in this, and that somebody can do what they did. It's stunning. It's Messi-esque. It's Bale-esque. It's the fact that he wins it where he wins it
and just
takes it and goes and has the intelligence to put it back to put it back on his right foot to finish. I mean, after all the run, he finishes the right way. It's stunning. Absolutely stunning.
All right, so let's move on to Everton versus Arsenal. You boys, take it away. Take it away.
I'm gonna pass this over to our new guest right here. What do you think of the game?
It looked like classic Arsenal. They dominated out of the gate. Then they gave up a goal. Mertesacker was awful in front of Rooney on that goal. And thankfully, they were able to come back and win the game. I'd ask you guys here. I mean, there's good Arsenal, bad Arsenal, and I can never figure out what is the difference. Is it the tactics? Is it the attitude of the players? I mean, I look at it all the time. It drives me crazy.
It is crazy being an Arsenal fan. Like, not just like today. I mean, today, obviously, but it is awful sometimes being a, like, I feel like I need, like, life support, like, next to me sometimes. Like,
well, that's why we're here. Therapy session once a week.
Yeah, Tottenham, baby girl. I mean, that used to be you.
Hey, let's give credit to Arsenal for a good victory. I think Ozil had his best game of the season.
Yeah, but he gone. He gone. He's going to United.
The mirror broke that story. I don't trust the mirror. Not only that, but he then came out and was angry about it, saying that the rumors were not true, that he'd spoken to everyone in the dressing room.
He's going to United.
I don't believe it. I'll believe it when the signs.
Otherwise, I hope he becomes your player and your problem.
Good.
Like, it would be great. Mo is like...
Mo? Is that his name?
Mo loves him. Like...
Alexis Sanchez.
In fact, he's going to be your next 45-minute sub. He's going to get signed to United, and he's going to get subbed
after
45 minutes.
Let's go.
Like, every game, they're going to be like, "Oh, he's not tracking back. He subbed." Like, and you're going to pay like $60 million for him at least.
No, because he's going to be a free transfer.
No, because he's going to go in January, so he's not going to be a free transfer.
There's a discount,
baby girl. No, and.
I said we put a cheeky 10 spot on this.
More expensive than
not
summer transfers.
Out of contract.
We're going to be out of money, by the way, if we keep making bets. But I'll bet you $10. All right, that's an easy bet.
All right.
$10 that he doesn't even come to us. And I'm not talking January. I'm talking any time, and then any of the next two transfer windows.
He's going in January.
No,
I think you guys got to get this back on track and talk good about what Arsenal did today, because I would love to talk about how bad Everton are. But you Arsenal guys should be happy with the result, winning on the
road. I'm not happy. Like, we should have dominated that game.
Well,
and
5-2 result, that's pretty dominant.
No, but they scored a goal against a run of play. Their first goal was completely against a run of play.
And then
and
was Montreal
it's,
back
it's
pass?
Typical Arsenal. Like, we should have been a goal up at that point. And now we're a goal down. Yes, Christian, after the game, like, I can be like, oh, well, I can, you know, rest on my laurels now. But, like... At that time, when they scored, I was like, typical Arsenal. We were dominating the game, and then we get scored on. And then it was like...
Well, it seemed like the goals didn't start rolling in until the red card happened.
I don't care.
But it's...
I look at the performance as a whole, and I thought we did well, and I'm glad my boy Jackie Boy set up Rambo. You know, but...
The fact of the matter is,
that game should have been done and dusted in the first half.
But, okay, so the question was asked earlier, what are Arsenal? I think Arsenal are the kind of squad that when they start things start going their way, that's when they can pile it on. And that's what they did in this game. They're a team that piles on against teams.
But what happens when it's not our day?
You lose.
Yeah, and most of the time it's not your day.
That's what I'm concerned about.
And where overall is Arsenal in their project? I mean, you're talking like an Arsenal supporter that – finishes in the top two or three, that's fighting for a championship every year. That's not been Arsenal for a long time. It's not been Arsenal for a while now.
You're right about that.
And, you know, there are no trophies for fourth place, and a side like Arsenal should not be.
No, Wenger has a wing at Emirates where it's, you know.
Fourth place.
Well,
trophy.
And the FA Cup, I mean. That's great, you know, like, congratulations.
We still have won trophies.
But FA Cups shouldn't mean something to a side as big as Arsenal.
Well, they don't get us in Europe.
No, and, well, I just don't know where overall Arsenal are. They're not going to win the Premier League
this
year.
We're in shambles. Yeah, Arsenal
right now, fifth level with Chelsea on points, only down on goal differential. If you're an Arsenal fan, I think you've got to be pretty happy with the way things are right now. Overall, body of work. Maybe you're not where you want to be, but
we're gonna
with
win
the
Europa
squad
League,
that you
baby
have
girl.
And the losses you've had, I think fifth isn't too bad for you guys.
It was a great game. They played well. It does feel like we're in no man's land. It doesn't. There's no direction. We have a manager that doesn't seem to be clear about where he's taking the team. You said. I mean, I was happy they sold Oxbow, but you mentioned it as a bad sign before the show.
Well, I think it's a bad sign because some of your best players are leaving. And whenever your best player
is not one of our best players.
We do not think he's one of our best players.
He's awful. Maybe not best, but better players.
Well, and two amazing players.
He was a prospect. That's all he ever was and all he will ever be. And now he's Liverpool's problem. So
Sanchez and Ozil are leaving this year.
In January, so we can
And they may, but the
and
fact,
bring me Draxler. Bring me Draxler.
Right. How do you replace players like that in a program that should be looking to finish in the top four?
Sanchez hasn't even hardly played for us this year. So what are we replacing? He hasn't hardly played.
That's fair.
He scored a goal. Like, bring me Draxler. Let Draxler play on the left.
You guys could have signed Draxler last year. You didn't. Now he's with PSG playing really well.
No. He's actually not playing at PSG.
Lacazette.
Because Neymar is there, and he's not playing at PSG. That's why he's coming to Arsenal, like, very soon.
Lacazette was a good...
Bold statements today.
Lacazette was a good signing.
When do I not?
I was a little miffed when they were talking about selling Mustafi. I mean, I thought he's been solid for the team.
I thought, yeah.
And having a solid center back.
I look at him like Koscielny. Like, he will...
He's not as good as Koscielny.
Yeah, he's not, but he's younger. So, like, give him some time, and he might be like a show.
Speaking of giving time, this was something that I really took away from this match on the Everton side of things. While Arsenal looked great, Everton looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And the league does not give you time.
Nope.
There is no time.
Nope.
There's no time at all.
Koeman's time has come.
I was going to do hashtag Sat Koeman Monday.
Who is Big Sam going to be coaching for at the end
Everton,
of the week?
Everton.
Well, Everton at this
point. No, the new guy brings on a very good point.
Everton at this point are in the drop zone, and they have nothing going for them up front. They haven't won since, I think, September 23rd. There's just nothing working for them overall, and I think Koeman is a perfect example of how Southampton puts out not only great players but great managers mm-hmm. that we all overrate, and they all get bought and don't come good when they go to their next project.
Well, their youth system, you know, like,
yeah. Let's move on.
Great, yeah.
We're going to talk about Spurs versus the Ben Dippers.
We're not talking about Spurs.
Go ahead.
So, hey, it's been a great week for Spurs. They start the midweek with a draw to Real Madrid.
That sums up your team. A draw.
Well, hey, we're getting points in Europe, things that you guys struggle to do.
On a Tuesday or a Wednesday, not a Thursday.
Yeah. So.
Okay, yeah, and how often have you played in Champions League? We played the last 20 years.
Are you playing
two or three.
This year? Oh, that's right. So
it's this year, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly. So, then Liverpool was a...
Look at these two. They're so important.
Was a team that used to be, you know... Let's remind ourselves what Liverpool did to Arsenal earlier this year. They slaughtered them, destroyed them, ripped them to shreds.
Like the third game of the season.
Yeah, and Spurs came to town today. It was in Wembley.
They went out to Wembley.
And
Wembley.
I think it was Spurs' best win in the mm-hmm. Premier League this year. And, hey, 4-1, Harry Kane with two goals. The first one was instinctive. Dele Alli finally gets on the mm-hmm. score sheet for the first time in a long time. Kane also had a pass to Son for the assist.
Yeah, you talk about De Bruyne's pass. Like, Kane's, that's like a banana ball.
Well, talk about that first goal by Kane. I mean, that's just, to me...
It's very instinctual.
It shows how good Harry Kane is. And for anyone to discount him or... slag him off as whatever. How much more does this guy need to do?
He's
is it because he's English that he doesn't get the pundits all on his? I don't understand. I mean, he's not Lewandowski.
He's kind of like Lewandowski though.
But
like,
I just don't know what it takes. I watch Harry Kane and I'm like, we're watching one of the best strikers in the world right now, and we have a great one in Manchester, no doubt about it. But Harry Kane is a young player who's still getting better every year.
And Pochettino's—he's a great coach, and they've clearly adjusted to Wembley.
Pochettino, I like that.
Pochettino.
It's Pochettino, but he's Pochettino.
he's a great.
He's goal poaching.
He's a great manager. If you ask me, I mean, as hard as his Tottenham and City,
they run that press. That's kind of what this game was about. Was you got Klopp with the high press, and you got Pochettino. They press well. So it was like a game of pressing. Like,
yeah.
Well, they're all out there working mad hard. It was great to see.
The high press burned them today twice, particularly through Lovren, who was basically the guy that made the mistake for both.
But it also burned them when Henderson sent that ball through to Salah and scored.
Correct, which should have been a foul on Firmino on Kane. But yes, that was that's the thing about the high press. You live by the high press, you die by it. And so it was a it was a really impressive result for Spurs. And when you back that up, you know,
and
after
it was at Wembley,
Real Madrid,
of all places.
I think this. I know it's early days, but I think you guys are going to move to the second spot. I can't see United.
But again, we're talking about results against a side like Arsenal beat up Everton. Liverpool's not that good.
Rubbish.
And I think
we need
a great result for Spurs. They played fantastic football. They were obviously the better side today, obviously.
Nervous.
But Liverpool are not a good side. And how much more time does Klopp get? Because Klopp is this
rock and
roll
better than Brendan Rodgers.
Right.
They've run the numbers. He's no better than Brendan Rodgers.
They've not fixed the back.
So
you
sack
play a team,
him and bring him to Arsenal.
You play a team as good as you play a team as
I'd
good as Spurs, and Spurs are going
Let's
to
do it.
Eviscerate
He's
you.
In.
And I'll say this. I think Spurs are the best side in England right now.
Me too.
I know the City are on top of the table, but I don't believe
it.
Let's stroke Alex's ego. But, you know.
Absolutely. Okay. I think Spurs are going to be there at the end. They've shown it over the last
few years. Alex is doing a Mike Tyson dance right now.
Or Mike Tyson. Hey, and happy birthday to Arsene Wenger.
Right.
And John Terry scored this weekend for Aston Villa.
All right, guys, that is about it from us. My thanks to
John Terry and Arsene Wenger. That would be quite a party.
Christian.
Mark.
Steve. We'll be back next Sunday, same time, same place. Have a great week, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.